In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, in the church we have a custom to mark the Sunday after a big event. The Sunday after the exaltation of the cross, the Sunday after Christmas, after Theophany, after Pascha, etc. This is the Sunday after our mortgage burning, our great celebration with Metropolitan Tikhon. And it's still a time of joy for us, still a time of celebration and festivity. It's a time for us to continue where we left off last week. But it's also a time for us to consider what is next. That often is the question after a parish or a mission burns the mortgage. Well, what's next? What are you going to do next? And this is something that is on our minds and our hearts. It's something that we've been thinking about, hoping for great things for the future, bring about this next chapter in the life of our mission. But it's something that takes time to think about, to discern, and to realize. What comes next isn't always so readily apparent. As we continue the celebration of the mortgage burning, we also today we'll have the blessing of the teachers and students at the beginning of the academic year as they enter into that next season of learning and education, maturation and growth. And maybe the students, hopefully not the teachers, but maybe the students are wondering, well, what's next? What am I going to learn this year? How am I going to become smarter, better educated, and develop? It's also this week the beginning of the church year. We enter into the new liturgical year on September 1st. And hopefully we have that same anticipation for growth and maturation as we enter into the new church year. I want to talk about three processes today. Thinking, discerning, and becoming. And each of these three are distinct, but also interrelated to one another. Thinking is an activity of the mind. We think with our brains. This is something that we do in school. It's something we do in the academic year. It's something we do in the church, in the liturgical year. And it's something we do as a mission, thinking about the future, what's next. When we think, we take information and we put it into our minds. And we process it. We organize it. We shift it around. We make sure that it's structured properly so that we can better understand it. Better retain it. Thinking is like data storage, and it has to be done orderly. It has to make sense. The mind has an innate desire for truth and order. And when we think, we have to be orderly and truthful. The other activity, the other process that we engage in is discerning. What is the difference between thinking and discerning? Well, it's related to the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge we know as data, ones and zeros that enter into the brain. Well, wisdom is how to use that data, how to rightly, how to virtuously use the information that's been imparted to us. Someone who is wise is not someone who just knows a lot of stuff, but somebody who knows how to use the stuff that has been given to them. And this is discernment. This is an activity that is not just of the mind, it's an activity that is also of the heart. Because the heart will teach us how to use what has been given into the mind, to use it rightly and virtuously. The third process is becoming. And if we think of the mind thinking and the heart discerning, it is the will of the human being that brings about the becoming. Because we can know things, we can discern what is right, but to become what is true and what is right, we have to act. It takes our will. So the mind, the heart, and the will are these three powers. And thinking, discerning, and becoming are these three processes by which we go to maturation. To grow, by which we become who we're meant to be. And this is something that our students will do in the academic year. This is something that we'll do in the church year. And this is something that we need to do as a mission to find our destiny. One of the founders of Western philosophy, we all know, is Socrates, who died about 400 years before Christ. And Socrates, who was this very learned man, a person who sought discernment, and to put into practice this wisdom, he was a person who considered his own life and his work with two great analogies. The first analogy was, he saw Athens as this great horse, this great steed that the people would ride and would take them to the next level. But he saw in Athens a certain sluggishness, a certain paralysis, a certain sleep that had come over the city and over the people. And he considered his job to be to sting that horse, to sting it, to be awakened, to come out of that paralysis, that sluggishness, and to carry the people where they needed to go. And he saw this stinging primarily in the realm of morality. It was a moral stinging, a stinging of the conscience that he felt to be his calling for the people. This was the first analogy that he used to describe his life work. His second analogy was that of a midwife. He saw his job to bring forth out of the people ideas that were true and good and noble. He saw himself as one who would bring about a new life, a new thought, a new generation. That he was a spiritual or philosophical father to the people. That morally he had a responsibility to this next generation to bring about life. But he also saw in this responsibility as a midwife to also put to death that which was false, that which was not properly formed. He thought his job was to find an idea or a thought that was improperly formed and to put it to death because it would not come to any fruition. It would die of its own accord, and better put it to death now than later. So his job was to bring forth good ideas and put to death bad ideas. This is how he saw his ministry, his life. And he taught many great people. Plato, Aristotle. He taught, after his immediate disciples, the whole Western world in this philosophy. And people trusted him. You think you have to trust somebody if they're going to be stinging you constantly, and if you're going to ask them to bring forth out of your mind and out of your heart right ideas and to put to death those that are false, you have to have some trust in this person to do this. And people trusted him. Question for us as we enter into the new church year is, do we trust the Lord? Do we trust this church? Think about these Athenians. They had trust in the school of Socrates, in the university of philosophy. They had trust in this teacher and his disciples. They trusted, and they turned their lives over to him to greater and lesser degrees. But they were educated, and they came to maturation because they had this trust. You can't make any progress if you don't trust your teacher. If you don't trust the school. Trust is so key in the church too. Why are we mentioning Socrates or Plato or Aristotle, these philosophic fathers? Why are we mentioning them? They have no place in the church, right? Well, not exactly. For those who are familiar with Orthodox architecture and iconography, in many of the ancient churches, and still in some churches today, when you enter into the church, into the vestibule or the narthex, that outer area before you enter into the nave, the inner sanctuary, you'll see figures depicted there on the walls. And they'll be depicted without halos, without the glory that comes through the grace of God. They're depicted there as precursors to the saints. And we see in many churches, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, and others in the vestibule, because they were concerned for virtue and morality. And they didn't have all the answers, but they were lovers of wisdom. That's what philosophy means, right? To love wisdom. And who is wisdom? But Christ, who's the wisdom, the word, and the power of God. They loved Christ, even though they didn't know him. Remember, Socrates died 400 years before. But they loved truth. When we enter into this new liturgical year, there is great opportunity for us to learn something new. We could approach the church liturgical year like a school child. And we're meant to be called children in Christ. We can approach not knowing what it is we're going to learn this year. You know, when a child goes to school, they remember what they learned last year. But there's also a whole wealth of information and wisdom that'll be imparted to them in that next year. And they don't know what it is yet. Do we approach the church year like this? Or do sometimes we think, well, we kind of know everything about the church. You know, been there, done that. And once we think we know things, that's when learning stops. We will not grow if we think we're already mature. But if we come as children, we'll make great progress. When we think about the future of our mission, there are many thoughts that will pop into our minds about what could be, what we think should be, how we can get there. All of us have some kind of an idea that pops into our mind, and we'll talk about it as a parish council, as a parish body, as individuals on the phone or in the coffee hour or wherever. We'll talk about what the future might hold, what is next, and we'll think. Our minds will be active. And this is a good thing. This is the first process of maturation. But we have to go beyond that and move to discernment. And that discernment is primarily not what it is we want to do. The discernment is, what is God's will for us? What is best? What is true? What is noble? What is virtuous? What is authentically Christian? What is self-sacrificial? What is loving? What is grace-filled? The heart must be active in this process of discernment. And we must be active together, discerning how to use our Christian faith, how to implement the commandments, how to grow as a parish, discerning God's direction for us, God's wisdom and his leadership for us. And the final thing that we must do is we must actually become. After thinking, after discerning what is God's will for us, we might say, well, we've done our job, now God will make it happen. Well, he does make things happen, but he makes things happen through us. That is the very point of the church, that we become his body, his hands, his feet, that we perform his acts, his works, that we incarnate his life in the community. This is how we become not only the church, but this is how we become whom we're meant to be. This is how we find our personal destiny, our growth and our maturation, by becoming. And this is the better way. You know, when I came to the mission, it was 10 years ago. When Father Daniel started the mission, it was 16 years ago. And I'm sure Father Daniel, like I, had thoughts about, you know, how we were going to make it happen. Would we find some kind of field somewhere? Would we then later put up a trailer there just to get onto the property? Maybe then have a double wide to give us some worship space and fellowship space? Maybe at some point we put up a hall? Maybe in the future, God willing, we'd be able to build a temple there. But this is the 20-year, 30-year, 40-year plan, because we're small. These are our thoughts, just how we think about things. And it's okay to think. But one thing Father Daniel said to me when I came here, he said, this is a clean slate for you. This is an opportunity for you to try and lead the mission to become what it must be. And I received that advice in the best way I could. And that's in a way of imitation. To realize that this is still a clean slate. That it's not my job to write down what's going to happen here. It's not our job to write down what's going to happen here. It's God's job to write down what's going to happen here. To lead us. And we think about how he's led us. Look where we are. We're on a 15-acre parcel, strategically located off of the highways. There's a 5,400-square-foot building here that houses our chapel, hall, rectory. There's even a pool for all of the young children and the families. There's room for expansion. There are so many things that we would not have thought about. Our ways are not God's ways. His are so much higher and lofty and glorious. And brothers and sisters, this is what our future has for us too. If we're able not just to think about things, but to discern God's will, and also to become his will. Brothers and sisters, may it be. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.